Vanderbilt and Riverfront Trail, Bard Rock and the Mooring Hook. The historic roots of Hyde Park began to take hold when residents of the New York colony were offered patents or large parcels of land to create settlements in the valley between Albany and New York City. Peter Fauconnier, a businessman and government land surveyor, was granted a 3,600-acre patent in 1705 in the area that is now Dutchess County. He named the land Hyde Park in honor of Sir Edward Hyde, governor of the colony of New York, who granted the patent. We learn more about the early days of Hyde Park from supervisory park ranger Alan Daly.
The first property was built by John Bard as a farmhouse in 1772 when he intended to retire from his work as a physician and become a farmer. And that house was built on the other side of what is now Route 9, the Albany Post Road. It was directly across from what is now the exit to the Vanderbilt property. He had over 3,000 acres of land, and the Vanderbilt property was 670 acres, so it kept getting pared down. Well, I think the most interesting thing about Bard is that he was the first person who began to develop the property, but didn't see it for its scenic beauty. For him, it was farmland and river access. It was commercial property.
You're standing at the site of his early development, the place known as Bard Rock.
Bard Rock was very important to John Bard because it was easily accessible to people who might want to ship goods down to New York. So they could bring boats right up to the edge and not have to worry about ferrying things out farther to other boats. So that was his interest in having a landing there. And that's why the site is named Bard Rock after John. He used it commercially.
During the time of Frederick Vanderbilt, Bard Rock became a landing for launch craft that ferried passengers from yachts anchored mid-river to the Vanderbilt dock. The launches tied off to this mooring hook, which was part of the Vanderbilt's boathouse. The hook is all that remains today. Wealthy scions of industry spent fortunes on elegant watercraft, and the Vanderbilt's own yacht, the Vidette, at just under 200 feet in length, also had to be moored in the deep water of the Hudson River, directly across from where you stand. It often took Frederick, Louise, and their guests on extensive journeys. Alan Daly.
Well, first of all, the yachts were much larger than we would think of most yachts being today. We know that Frederick and Louise Vanderbilt would sometimes be on their yacht for over a month, probably spent more time on their yacht than other people of their class did at the time. So these were homes that traveled, and you could live on them for extended periods of time. They had dining rooms with 18 portholes, marble fireplaces, beautiful woodwork interiors, bathrooms, electricity. Every convenience you had in your house was on the yacht. They would have staff up to 50 people on some of these. These were ocean worthy. They could go all the way to Europe, although usually they would take an ocean liner and then meet their yacht, go yachting along the coast of Spain, southern Europe in the summertime, and they would go to Central America.
Vanderbilt wealth came from transportation, so it only seemed fitting that yachting would be a favorite leisure pastime of the Vanderbilts. Alan Daly.
Mr. Vanderbilt loved yachting. He even was involved in building the ship that won one of the America's Cups. $500,000 is what he paid for the Vidette, and it was built in Copenhagen. People spend the money on cars now in a way that the Vanderbilt spent money on boats.